The basic idea, 720 WGN, John Landecker at 736, welcoming Bob Bertog to the program. Bob, thanks for coming on this evening.
No problem, John. How are you today?
I'm fine. Bob, as we all know, but I'll say it again, President Bertog Landscaping Company in Wheeling, certified landscape professional with National Association of Landscape Professionals, and 312-981-7200, the text line and the phone number if you have any lawn or gardening questions that this professional can handle. But, Bob, I was just listening attentively to our last newscast, and it talked about heat indexes next week, I think it was Wednesday, going into possibly heat indexes of 100 degrees or more. Obviously, that has some that will have an effect on everything, including a lawn. Is there anything to prepare for that?
Well, I wouldn't schedule cleaning out the attic those days, but I'll tell you that it's the air temperature you got to worry about. The heat index, obviously, it's 10 to 10 or 15 degrees warmer than the air, but when you have temperatures in the 90s and approaching 100, the opportunity, especially at nighttime when you have heavy dew, the fungi just colonize and they can destroy turf and plants overnight, more turf than anything. So is there anything you can do? Well, not really. You can put down preventatives, but it's a little late now because they're talking about this happening the day after tomorrow. So just keep an eye on it. And when you wake up and if you see brown spots or things, either call a professional or get a fungicide on there as quickly as possible, because it's supposed to be, I think they said, like a 3 to 5 day stretch of this hot, humid weather. And it's just not good for the gardens, and roses don't like it. Just plants don't like the heat, just same way humans don't.
Well, you know, and my lawn doesn't either. I mean, I've had plenty of experience with having extended periods of heat and lack of rain actually along with it, and then watching what my close to green grass turn to close to straw, for lack of a better term. But I guess there really isn't anything you do about that, because if you were to water it, it would just boil, wouldn't it?
Well, not necessarily. If you water it at the right time of the day, which is just before sunup, you get a nice heavy watering in. It's going to sink down into those roots, because you want the roots to reach deep for that water. If you just water for 10 minutes, then you're right. That's a problem, because the roots stay at the surface. And then they say, okay, not only is there no water because it's all drying up because of the desiccation and the wind and it's evaporating, but now my roots are so shallow, I can't even go deep to try and find water. So best time of day to water is just before sunup. So when the sun comes up, it actually burns off that dew on the grass and stops the fungi from colonizing. So timing of watering is important. And if you can't water, it's okay to let the lawn go dormant. It'll just kind of go to sleep, and it'll come back once we get the rains again.
Yeah.
Or once you have a chance to water. Like the rains we had last week were extremely beneficial. Like most of the lawns greened up really nicely from the rains last week. So they should do okay in this stretch that's coming up.
I know that you mentioned watering before dawn, and other than actually getting up and going out and watering before dawn, I believe that some people in my neighborhood have sprinklers on timers, and that would be one way to go, would it not? To have sort of a mechanical.
You can have a built-in system that's hooked straight into your plumbing, or they have, just if you go to the local garden center or a big box store, they have these spigots. They just run on a 9-volt battery, and they have timers built in. They have two or three different zones. They've gotten pretty sophisticated, so those you just turn on before you go to bed and it's on, and then the timer will kick on the valves at the proper time in the morning.
Do you have any other, as long as we're talking about summer watering, do you have any tips for a successful watering in the summer?
Water deeply and infrequently. You don't do that every other day for 5 minutes a section. That's the worst, and don't water at night. Watering at night is the worst sin you can commit.
Really?
You're just asking for those. Well, think about it. Especially if it's over 70 degrees, you have hot, humid weather.
Yeah.
So you have an environment where the fungi just, they love it. They just thrive in that. And then then you just keep, you're exacerbating the problem by adding water to it, and you know, overnight at midnight or 10 o'clock. People think that it's good to water then because the sun's not going to dry it
out. Right,
right. You're actually going to do less harm. You're going to lose money to evaporation, but you're going to do less harm to your landscape if you water at noon during the day, as long as you water it heavy enough. But you are going to lose, you're wasting money because it's just going to, most it's going to evaporate.
I got a text here
don't water at night, though. That's a no-no.
Good to know. I got a text from 224, Bob. How do I cut down and how often my knockout rose bushes? I guess how often do I cut down and knock out rose bushes? I'm not quite sure what that terminology means.
I think they're talking about actually cutting off the blooms.
Hmm.
Because really, it's to cut them back. You do that every spring. You just cut down to the live tissue. You cut out the dead wood that didn't make it through the winter. But I'm thinking they're talking about because knockout roses they're considered ever blooming. So as one is fading, it's not necessary to do it. However, by pruning off the dead after they lose their petals, you can see the nodule where the flower was. If you prune that off, it's going to encourage more buds and more flowers. So the time to do it is when they fade. When the petals fall off, go ahead and prune off what's left of the flower.
312-981-7200. That is the phone number and also the text line. And we're talking with Bob Bertog from Bertog Landscape Company. And, you know, he knows what you need to know about anything that has to do with the lawn or any other concerns that you may have. So feel free to avail yourself of that text line. And the phone line at 312-981-7200. Oh, yeah, that window blow. 720 WGN, John Landecker at 747 with Bob Bertog, president of Bertog Landscaping Company in Wheeling, taking calls, questions, anything to do with the lawn, whatever. And I've got some here for you, Bob. 773, is it true that I shouldn't trim evergreens in hot temperatures? And which liquid weed eliminator should I use on grass? I use the granulated ones. But the weeds apparently did not go away.
Okay, let's start with the weed question. I'm not a fan of granular herbicides. I don't think they're nearly as effective because the whole idea behind a herbicide is that it gets in contact with the leaf and then the leaf absorbs the herbicide and translocates it down into the roots and kills the plant. Well, if you apply a granular and that plant is dry, the herbicide is not going to stick to the leaf. So if you are going to use a granular, I suggest watering your lawn just real, real lightly, just to get it wet before you do it. And then that way the granulars will stick to the leaf surface. Whereas if you use a liquid herbicide, you know you're getting it wet and you know it's getting on those leaves and you know it's going to translocate into the plant. So that's the school of thought on those two different types of herbicides. As far as the evergreens, it's more important to do it at a certain time of year. Like if you wait until late fall, and then you're going into winter, you're going to get winter burn. But to do them now, you're not going to really hurt them. They're not, you know, you might see a little bit of a tinge of a burn, but you're not going to shock the plant at all if you're trimming evergreens now.
I have another text here from 224. Nancy from Wadsworth. Is there a way to control the height of Annabelle hydrangeas without stopping them from blooming?
No. They flower on new wood. The only thing you can do is you can cut them down to about 6 inches in the spring. But if they're that tall already, you have extremely healthy Annabelles. The only thing you might want to do next season, it's too late now unless you can really try and tie them up with some nursery twine. But they sell cages that you can put around them, which help keep them upright. They grow up. It's kind of like a peony cage, but they're much wider because they're for the hydrangea. And then they'll grow up through the middle of that cage, and they'll kind of stay more upright. You know, I know what she's talking about. The flower heads get so heavy, they just flop over. So I'd be happy that you got great blooms like that and enjoy the plants, but then plan ahead for next year. Maybe look into those cages.
You know, we were talking just a few minutes ago about increasing temperatures coming up and very high heat indexes of over 100 degrees, and we've had, over the past few weeks, some pretty heavy-duty rain, wind, storms, and wouldn't be surprised if there's more on the way. So whenever there's a storm that goes by, I I'm like, uh-oh, I got to look outside and see how much damage has been done and how many limbs I have lying on the lawn. Is there anything you can do to be ready for storms and tree damage or anything like that?
Well, to maintain the health and vigor of your trees, because actually a tree should be able to withstand, you know, up to 50 mile an hour winds, because they're extremely pliable. You have to remember there's a lot of fluid in a tree. So they're meant to move. And if you do come out after a storm and you've had some, obviously outside of a tornado, that's obviously,
right.
I'm talking like a normal storm. And if you go outside and you see a bunch of limbs down, you better get on the phone with an arborist pretty quickly, because there's something going on in that tree that those limbs failed, because they should not fail in an average windstorm. They should not fail. So to answer your question, you can't the only thing you can do to prevent that is to take care of them, keep them fertilized, keep them pruned. And then if you do see the damage after a storm, then call in a professional.
Yeah. You know, we sort of inherited the trees that are on our property, and on the surface, they seem to be just fine. But then after a few heavy duty storms with winds, there were on occasion, sometimes a pretty hefty limb that was lying on the ground that if you looked at it from just passing by, that tree looks very healthy. There's nothing wrong with that tree. I mean, there's leaves on that limb and whatever, and there it is lying on the ground. So obviously there was something inside that limb that was weakening it, so to speak, right?
Well, yeah, and you can look at the limb that as it lays on the ground, and you can look for, are there carpenter ants in there?
Yeah.
Is the wood dark? Is it still green? If it's not green, it means it's dead wood. So then that's when the questions start coming. What happened? What caused it?
Right.
That's the detective work that comes in.
And then what can I do about it? Like you say, call an arborist, and they'll be able to examine what's going on and give you their assessment and what they would recommend. Right.
Right. For example, my neighbor had a cottonwood tree that was, looked apparently very healthy and everything.
Yeah.
And actually the village came by and made him remove it because it was a hazard and it was going to fall and take down the utility lines.
Yeah. Well, that can happen. Well, I want to thank you, Bob, for coming on. Bob Bergtog, president of Bergtog Landscaping Company in Wheeling. Certified landscape professional with the National Association of Landscape Professionals. And I would guess to say that you're a regular here at WGN, wouldn't you say that? Right? I mean, we can say that.
Sure. Every Wednesday with John Williams.
Yeah, see? And you did that remote with, what's that
Lou
guy's
Manfredini.
Name? That's the guy's name, Lou Manfredini. And now look, here you are. Thanks, Bob. If people want to get a hold of you, what do they do?
They can reach us at Bertog Landscape, that's Bertog, bertoglandscape.com, or the phone number is 847-279-0028.
Great. Thank you so much for being with us, and appreciate your advice. Have a great night.
Thanks, John. Have a great night.
Bob Bertog, I'm getting emails here that say nobody's got a question, but they go, "Whoo, Bob Bertog rules." Yes, apparently he does.